This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday meditation. Good to be here. If you're new to meditation, I hope to give some clear guidance of pretty good way to meditate. It is something that I feel anyone can do if we have the interest and are willing to try. It takes a little bit of effort, but it's mostly patience. And there is a sense in which no matter how much experience we have in meditation, you know, we're continually beginning again in meditation. Our past experience is relevant and can be useful because we do develop habits that can be useful, but we're certainly not trying to recreate something that may have happened in the past or try even to build on what we've done in the past, so much as bring attention to what's happening in these moments that we'll share together. So the core of many forms of meditation, not all, is using our ability to decide where to place our attention. It is remarkably simple activity of our minds, just deciding to, for instance, to look at my hand. If you can see and can see the screen, you can decide to look there rather than all the infinitely many other places in your visual field that you could focus. We're not going to use my hand for the meditation, but we could. It just seems a little weird to use my hand. And besides, it's kind of too much work for me. But seriously, we can use visual objects. We don't tend to do that in the kind of the current Western mindfulness traditions, but we can use visual objects in the same way. We'll begin noticing sounds, focusing on sounds, then focusing on sensations in our bodies. And as we do this, we make effort, but it's always gentle and even well definite. And that being said, no matter how hard we try, there will be those moments when we realize the attention has drifted. And it's quite understandable because we're asking ourselves to focus attention on something that doesn't require our attention for any other external task. And so quite naturally, our intelligence kicks in a way. And it's like, yeah, I know you're trying to meditate, but what about that thought about paying the electric bill? What did you forget about that? And he's like, no, I didn't forget about it. I will do it later. You know, our minds are very interesting. And we're not, even if it's hard, even when things are hard and we have patterns of thoughts, which we wish we didn't have and so forth, or things require attention that we would rather not pay attention to. Nonetheless, this ability of our minds is quite amazing, to pay attention to what needs to be paid attention to and so forth, which is why this activity that we're going to share is radical, right? So we're asking ourselves just to take this time. We don't have to squelch those thoughts about the bills or whatever. We don't have to get rid of them, but in the midst of them, we can do something else rather than just constantly be kind of following those usually intelligent thoughts that we have. And so when we notice the attention has drifted, just that recognition, thinking, planning, worrying, often emotion is in the neighborhood, also an opportunity to notice what it feels like to be anxious or excited or angry or whatever without having to act on it in those moments. And so we take it in stride, we learn we can take it in stride. And then we gently come back to where we were trying to focus, the breath, or somewhere else. So yeah, let's go ahead. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Letting your breath be normal. So we'll come back to the normal breath in a moment, in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear in the midst of everything else that may be happening. Notice that you can decide to focus on this part of your experience, this experience of hearing, being able to hear, and so far as you can, just. Not a huge job. We're not trying to get something out of the sensations of sound. We're not trying to organize them into some sort of music. Just noticing. Not trying to hear everything. Just this focusing of attention, sustaining attention is the catalyst for qualities of clarity, tranquility, and so forth. And we can come to recognize these too. But again, not trying to make something happen. It's much easier than that would be. But it does require patience, just noticing. So you can stay with sounds if you wish. It's also good to practice with sensations in our bodies in a similar way. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body, just noticing what there is to notice. The head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Again, not trying to extract something from the sensations, just noticing, paying attention. As we feel into our bodies, it can be sometimes quite noticeable, the sensations connected with the normal breath. So not breathing deeply the way we began, just letting the breath take place. There tend to be some sensations, often, very often overlooked for good reason, since they're not requiring our attention in any way. But the sensations in the abdomen, the chest, as the in-breath begins, slight rising, tensing. Sort of falling, dissolving sensations as the out-breath takes place. There are also sensations typically at the opening of the nose or the upper lip as air comes into the nose, as air leaves. So the idea is these sensations tend to be neutral, relatively neutral, meaning not pleasant, so pleasant or painful. And they're, in that respect, they're very good for our purposes. So just if you're new to this, just experimenting, but don't try too hard to get it perfect. Just noticing sensations by virtue of which you know the in-breath is beginning, the out-breath is beginning. Just staying attuned as well as you can. If the breath doesn't feel quite right, coming back to sounds. Or sensations elsewhere in the bodies that are not painful, such as the hands or the feet. But for many of us, one of the features of this type of meditation can be, not trying so hard to be perfect as this is good enough. And so the breath is probably good enough, these sensations in the abdomen, the chest, or the nose. So we do practice being alert, aware, even vigilant in a way. Patient. And then keeping in mind that try as we might, the attention will certainly drift at some point. Thoughts typically. This is not a practice of fighting our thoughts, even wish, when we wish they were different in some way. Just recognizing thinking, maybe emotion, the feel of the emotion in our bodies. So there's a kind of a radical permission here just to be aware without having to fix or change. And indeed, this is the art of mindfulness, is kind of even when we want change, to kind of approach it as in an accepting way and see what happens. Reconnecting back to the breath. So I'll be silent for a bit. We can practice together. Yeah, so thank you. Good to practice with you. We come to these sorts of events, each of us, for our own reasons, probably good reasons. As someone who has had an interest in meditation for a long time, 40 years, I approach teaching it, sharing it with confidence. It's for me not a sort of radical art form where let me experiment on you. I have had the privilege of having really good teachers. So in the past, Buddhist monks, Upandita, a Burmese monk, and so forth. So the human beings have done this activity in various ways over centuries, right? And there are traditions of meditation that, as Westerners, most of us, that we can draw on. And they're very interesting, these traditions, right? And most religions have something like this in play, maybe all, one way or another. And most of the traditions will posit some sorts of goals as well. And so we come to this, for our own reasons. And I respect any sort of reason that one has. There are very practical issues like working with pain or difficult emotions or sleeping better, maybe a habit, an addiction. And the emerging science now is kind of validating that, yeah, these sorts of taking time to do this can be helpful in very practical ways relative to mental, physical health, and so forth. And at the same time, these traditions will offer some very interesting models. And as someone who did not come to meditation as a philosophy graduate student looking for another worldview or something like that, I've always taken a bit of joy in the fact that the traditions differ in their models of what's supposed to happen if you really get good at this, right? And so even within Buddhism, you have, of course, mindfulness practice is taken very seriously, but in the different forms of Buddhism, you have differing models for what enlightenment is, for what will happen if one really gets healthy, right? Mentally and physically, or mentally primarily. And so, for instance, in Theravadin Buddhism, you have like four stages of enlightenment. That is part of the progress of insight. And in other forms of Buddhism, there's this refusal to posit any sort of model, like in some forms of Zen, right? And so it's fascinating. It's very interesting. And yet there is a common thread there also, which is, around the theme of suffering. Are you suffering less? And so one of the, for me, it's very interesting to kind of notice those moments when I think I've attained something. And I would say, yes, I have over these years. But it is interesting to see the way the mind can kind of fixate or coalesce around some idea of attainment in a way that automatically there's a layer of suffering there. It's quite interesting. So this is not a radical experiment, in my opinion. It's radical, but it's not an experiment. And yet for each of us, there is that element of experimenting. Like, why did I come here? Why do I show an interest? Why do I have an interest? And there also can be goals. There can be kind of models of attainment, achieving goals and so forth. But there also is this very beautiful sort of reminder that beginner's mind is profoundly the name of the game. It remains interesting, all of these elements. And in those moments when we are suffering, It can be interesting. There's lots of, it's like, wait a minute, I thought I had got past that, or some memory which we really have worked with, whether in therapy or meditation, and we think we've got past something, and something happens, and boom, and whoa, wait a minute, I'm still suffering, or I'm still stuck, I'm still caught. And so this is where there can be a lot of wisdom also in whatever our goals or hopes, having a sense of my own perfectionism also might be in play here. Where am I like assuming some sort of model of self-development that is implicitly or explicitly perfectionist in a way that isn't necessary and also is kind of a form of suffering? And so this is kind of the way that beginner's mind is profound, is like, okay, what's happening now, right? The past has happened. It's irretrievable. It's almost always inaccessible in important ways. The future is open, and there's a lot of value not in making a fetish of the present moment, but in kind of having that realization that accepting who I am right now is extremely important and doable, whatever the situation. And I realize that can seem a bit Pollyannish when things are really tough, right? And yet there is that space for experimenting even in those moments. So, yeah, thank you for your practice. Thanks for the comments in the chat today. A lot of wisdom there. And we can learn a lot from cats, that's for sure. Thank you for your practice. Thanks for showing up. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit UCLAhealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.